Andrew, it's always a pleasure. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you, Tess?
Well, thank you. What are we taking a look at this week?
Okay, so this week I've got a debut novel from Guardian journalist Bridie Jabbour.
I'm so excited.
I am too. In Australia, we love like a dual athlete, you know, someone who switches codes. And so for a book nerd like me, it kind of stands to reason that I would be a big fan of a journalist who writes a book. And like, it's kind of like the code switching, but for the arts. I think I stretched that metaphor. Okay.
I was with you. It's all good.
So Bridie's debut novel is The Way Things Should Be. And look, it's ostensibly the story of a wedding. Claudia Carter has returned to her hometown to marry Dylan. Hot on her heels, siblings Zoe, Poppy and Finn are also returning with varying degrees of enthusiasm for home. And back in their childhood home, Mother Rachel is despairing at her ungrateful children and listening just a little too much to her sister Mary, who never really wanted kids. And as the siblings navigate the politics of separated parents, wedding preparation, and getting on with people you usually only see twice a year, Jabbour unfolds this kind of tragicomic character study of a family in modern Australia. So look, I noted that The Way Things Should Be is ostensibly about a wedding. That's definitely what everyone's planning for, Claudia's getting ready for, the arguments are over who's the maid of honour, Claudia's not having bridesmaids, by the way, but nobody seems to listen to her. Look, really, the impending nuptials are definitely drive the action of the story. And as anyone who's attended a wedding will know, like, there's plenty of dramatic potential in a wedding. But this is really kind of secondary, I found. And it's actually, The Way Things Should Be is actually this finely drawn character study of growing up in Australia. Claudia Carter is the bride-to-be, and look, we're immersed initially in her turmoil over whether she should get married. FOMO, what else might the world have to offer if she stays single?
Ooh.
And we quickly become embroiled in the lives of Zoe, Poppy and Finn, and the siblings interplay. This for me was the real action of the book. I'm convinced that Bridie Jabbour could have taken these four and dropped them in any range of domestic or otherwise situations and still deliver a story with like drama, with comedy, with punch.
Okay.
Not like fruit juice in vodka with wine.
Got it.
So in Claudia, we have this, she's like the got it together sibling who doubts everything actually about her life, even though it looks so whole to everyone from without. Zoe, who's the oldest sibling,
so close enough.
She's like an enigma wrapped in a couture mystery.
Ooh.
Her siblings don't quite know what she does, but she always does it, or always strives to do it, presenting very well.
That's like my life goal right there. No one knows what you do, but you do it well.
We got to be careful because the others, so Claudia, Finn and Poppy are always kind of commenting on she gets it right except.
Oh, okay.
And so she, you know, she buys the right thing 1 week too late or wears it with the wrong capri pants. I know what they are. it's not just rolling your cuffs up past the ankle. And then we have Finn. So Finn's seemingly the peacemaker. He's the only brother. And he's unaffected by his siblings fighting. But he sort of does this at the expense of having a firm position amongst them. He always just kind of floats in this calm sort of space, but never really emerges. Or does he? What's happening?
Ooh.
What's going to happen? And then we have Poppy. And while Poppy is trying her best to live her best life, she's realizing that it just doesn't pay. It just got outsourced. And, oh, everybody is still treating her like the baby. So she's the youngest in the family. And it's the interplay between these four that was the book for me. The narrative is firmly situated in time. Jabbour's liberal use of pop and not so pop culture references really kind of position it as today and running through the noughties. I wondered a little at this, and there are times when I felt like it distracted a touch from the flow of the narrative. The purpose, though, seems to be inciting the story as one of its time, and one that's definitely informed heavily by its use of media and the consequent saturation of cultural iconography. How else could the siblings wax lyrical with such intensity about the music that moves them? and yet kind of miss whole details about each other's lives that are actually known by the waitress at the local restaurant who happens to follow one of them on Insta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's this really interesting, like there's so much detail about just different pop culture references. Music particularly comes in heavily. Now, I love Bridie Jabbour's journalism, but I'm not sure if she's written music journalism before, but it definitely kind of comes through that this is a passion of hers. So look, I am going to keep coming back to the characterization of the way things should be, and especially our central four siblings, as they're what makes this book enjoyable, at least to me. In creating a strong central core of female protagonists, I feel like Jabbour offers us a narrative that holds a mirror up to our world and kind of exposes both the strengths of its expanding social consciousness in all the various movements that we're seeing. And I mean, some of these may have informed the book and its writing, but some of them also are emerging now. But it also shows us the miseries awaiting a generation that are cut off from the presumptions of employment and housing that their parents enjoyed.
Ah, yes. Mm, yes. Yeah. Relatable.
There are also elements of farce here that keep the story fresh and exciting, at least for me. There are some laugh out loud funny moments and some like cringe moments. Imagine like Beckett if everyone was related.
Oh, there's a metaphor.
And I'm really actually hoping it was farce that I was reading, because if your family actually were like the Carters, it would be a little terrifying and I would want to give you a hug.
Okay.
Look, petty jealousies are exploded, family rifts turn into dangerous car park confrontations as the story careers towards the big day. Remember, it's about a wedding?
I'd almost forgot that part.
But by this point, I found I wasn't caring so much about whether Claudia would actually tie the knot. As the narrative progressed, each of the characters escaped any need to fulfill a role or act as a plot device, and instead were just themselves. So if it sounds like I made friends with some fictional protagonists...
It does.
I guess I did. And that's the strength of the way things should be. Come for the narrative, stay for the people.
It sounds absolutely brilliant, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Tess. And can't wait to bring back some more books for you.
Looking forward to it.